443 downtown. Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan with us here in studio. Good day, sir.
Oh, now there we are. Good day, all.
Left and eye, couldn't get your mic on.
I know, it's darn tough. I'm doing this with both eyes. I can't, and I'm still hapless.
Carrie cool. runs the board with one eye tied behind his back.
With my kids and all their pirate wear, I have so many eye patches to donate, but alas, he's not doing it.
No, I tried.
It's cool. It's tough. As Bob was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Wow, it's impressive. That's hardcore. So yeah, hi everybody. Anything happened this weekend that anybody's excited about? I'm a Giants fan, so I don't really care.
Me too.
I am excited. Pat Shurmur.
Yeah.
And maybe Jack
right.
Del Rio. Because I hated Ben McAdoo so much. Yeah. So this is exciting for me.
A little life back in Giants Nation.
We needed it. Yeah. It was very, very, very sad. Not like being a Browns fan, but like maybe worse, because it's disconcerting. You know, we're used to winning,
Browns
fans, so many of you out there probably remember.
Browns fans don't expect any more than that.
No. That's got to be a tough way to go through life, you know? Generation upon generation, buying jerseys, just hoping. By the way, speaking of Bob's, also, you know, I'm just, all I do is listen to Bob Cutler's interviews just over and over, apparently. But his rule about middle-aged men not being able to wear jerseys, it's a true rule, but it's a tough one. I have Devils jerseys aplenty, and I just, every time you look at them, it's just like, no one will respect you, Eric.
What about my goatee rule?
Oh, do you have a goatee rule?
Goatee rule, if you're over, I'm going to say 30, and I think that's stretching it. You can only get away with a goatee if you're a middle reliever or a bassist in a band.
Yeah, and a jazz bassist, I think, too. It's not even a rock, like... I think that's true. I used to rock a goatee all the time back when I was doing the singing thing, and you had to look like the evil baritone, and
right,
so you had
right.
that. But yeah, no, you're right. It's
an art critic maybe.
Yeah, but what I enjoy now is that the mustache is coming back in a sort of a non pedophilic way, which is it's nice. I mean, I'm not going to be rocking one myself, by the way, just in case anybody's concerned. But I've met a couple guys where I'm like, you know what, I don't view you as overly dangerous to society, which is nice. So it's funny how the mustache and the goatee, and I haven't even seen anybody with a Fu Manchu in a while. But
a few years ago, I was doing a play at Penobscot Theater, and I had to have mutton chops.
Oh, yeah. And you rolled around with that for a while?
I loved having that. That was great.
There's some dude who walks around Bangor who's like, he's just got this magnificent sort of sweeping white mustache with a little patch, and I have no idea who he is or what he does, but it's so well coiffed and it's so individualized. Yeah. If anybody out there knows this guy, you know, tweet in at us or whatever. Provided, of course, you can remember your Twitter password, unlike the governor of Hawaii.
Yes. So apparently, that was just word came out moments ago that one of the reasons it took so long to let the people know that the Hawaii missile strike was not real is that the governor couldn't remember his Twitter password.
Since when did we start relying on Twitter as opposed to, we're on a radio station, right? Don't we get like interrupted all the time for these tests? Like, hey, guess what's going on? Did they even bother to think about like the traditional methods of letting people know things? Or
you would think, I mean, there is a whole system in place for that.
Yeah. My
cousin works for him too. I just remember that.
Terrific.
Oh, yeah. It's a tough day around the office.
I guess. So, folks, what we're talking about today, I was going to be talking about books, some of my favorite wine books, but as it happens, my lovely daughter is a brownie, which is, of course, one of the junior versions of the Girl Scouts, and as many of you probably are aware, the Girl Scout Mafia is out in full with their annual cookie drive, and it's absolutely horrifying to see even my darling little daughter turn into this, you know, consumerism driven, like, well, I've met my goal, what's next? And then, you know, our good friend, you know, Auntie Lizzie comes over, and Auntie Lizzie was always like the, you know, take them down, get 250 boxes more than anybody else sort of thing. And so she's, you know, anytime it's like, okay, that's good, honey, now it's time to get serious. Now it's time to, you know, take out other little Girl Scouts tires and stuff like that.
Ooh,
and, you know,
wow.
And it's amazing. I mean, you know, some of these people, they set up in malls. They have like whole kiosks. You make
Oh, yes.
Bank. It's amazing. So what we're doing today, Christine, my wife, is like, you've got to do like pairing of cookies.
And
so
fantastic.
So that's what we're doing. This is the other side. I don't know what this says about Girl Scout cookies, but the Girl Scout cookies I managed to bring in today are from last round because, of course, the ordering is happening. Then they have to, you know, kill last year's Girl Scout that all graduated, and that's what gets grounds into the new cookies every year.
Right.
Carrie's laughing. This is traditional knowledge. I'm not making anything up here. And of course, you know, they ferment for a little while, and then they make the cookies. So
not authorized by Girl Scouts of America.
Also true. But pairing cookies, right? Like, how in gosh name do you pair cookies with wine? I mean, it seems like odd, but I've read a couple articles on what certain people think. I'll tell you what I think, and then we'll see who's right. And if anybody's right, then it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, we get to eat cookies and drink wine.
This works. This works.
So, in general, right, pairing, like, it's kind of like, I was trying to put this in some way, it's like architecture for your palate, right? Like, you've kind of got to have a basic working knowledge of what various things do, and then you've kind of have to project into the future what's going to happen when you put them all together, right? So, if you're an architect, you know that certain stresses here will, you know, result in failure, or, you know, this or that will result in success. Well, same sort of thing with pairing of wine and foods, right? Like, you want something maybe sweet to match something savory, or you want something with acidity to go with something that's kind of creamy, or things like that. Now, extending that, of course, to cookies, well, actually, it's pretty doable, right? Like, and I didn't really think about, you know, the wide variety of, indeed, cookies. And I'm not just going to confine this to Girl Scout cookies, although we'll get to them. Today, we have a Thin Mint and a Samoa. Two cookies that I am diametrically opposed to, one cookie that I don't know what I'm trying to say. I really don't like Thin Mints and I really love Samoas.
Oh,
it's just very strange for me. A lot of people think that's very odd just in general, but I've never particularly loved the Thin Mint, but I accept its place in society, on top of vanilla ice cream crumbled. So there you go.
I think I ate too many of them in my youth.
It could have been that too.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of Girl Scout cookies. I ate a lot of cookies in general.
Because if you open a sleeve, they're gone. Nobody, at least no one I know, can eat two of those and close it up and leave that sleeve
and
open.
Yeah. And that was it, the tagalongs with the, yeah, those are, oh, I mean, they can be deadly. So what I tried to do, like today I brought along a nice Chardonnay, right? Because there's a wide variety of wines that are going to go with this. So I picked something that's kind of, a lot of people are going to have, you know, experience with. It's from Sonoma. It's the Lioko Sonoma Chardonnay. I love it. It's very kind of lemon curdy. It's got some of that, you know, kind of toasted, round, buttery quality. It has a little of that, as we'll talk about again in the coming months.
That pairs nicely with the coconut in the Sonoma.
Right, and I was thinking like, that kind of malolactic kind of buttery quality would go nicely with, that caramelly, coconutty thing in the Samoas. And conversely, I thought it might really clash with the mint, and so I thought we'd kind of see, you know, what works and what doesn't. Mint is the tough one. So in all these articles, it was kind of interesting. Like some of the ones that I really liked, the Do-Si-Do, right, which is the plain peanut butter with Zinfandel, and they said, you know, think about it like an old school peanut butter and jelly. Like you've got peanut butter, you've got a jammy wine. I was like, that sounds pretty darn good. Another one that they had was with these Samoas was a Tempranillo. Like a sort of a dusty, dry red.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it really kind of added some like cinnamon and allspice qualities to it, which I thought was kind of cool. But Thin Mints, pretty much everybody failed. Everybody trying to pair. Some people tried Rieslings. The best they came up with, actually, and I thought this was pretty good, was a really chocolatey red wine. So either something like a Banyuls, which is a very a traditional southern French dessert wine that, again, is very sort of chocolatey. And so maybe you get that sort of chocolate mint thing. but
a
beyond
port,
that,
maybe?
Yeah, something. Like, I mean, but it would have to, you know, really, I mean, I think not be a juicy port.
Mm.
But other ports actually would be really wonderful because a lot of these older tawny ports have a lot of that sort of orange rind and dried fruit quality. And so extending this a little bit beyond the Girl Scout cookies, right? I'm of German background partially. And so growing up, especially at, Christmas and stuff, we'd have like Linsertorte and, you know, things like that. So kind of a jammy cookie. Right. And, so maybe something with like a Moscato d'Asti, right? sweet, but not like cloying sweet and kind of frothy. And I thought that was kind of a cool idea. A classic one, shortbread. Of course, there are shortbread Girl Scout cookies and shortbread everything. And champagne. So that really nice kind of brioche champagne quality. And of course, you could even do a demi-sec champagne if you like a little bit of sweetness. I think it would still really work with shortbread. Other cookies that I really like spicy cookies, you know, like that may have, again, some dried fruit, things like that. They suggested muscat. So if anyone's, and this is not Moscato, by the way, there's several different types of the muscat grape that you'll see around the world. But muscat, either dry or more traditionally sweet, is, again, very sort of orangey, very citrusy. And I thought that would be really, really good with some of those more spicy cookies. Another one is Madeira. If anyone's ever had Madeira, it's a very sort of dry, oxidated, and they said it with like nuttier cookies, like, you know, with almonds and pecans and stuff like that. So I thought those are all like kind of really cool. So, you know, maybe for those of you having parties that are coming up, you know, think about pairing them with wine. You know, maybe in a, you know, you got a couple grown-ups coming over, you know, maybe, you know, make dessert. Something fun. Try some wine pairing.
I will say that the Samoa and the Chardonnay, that was a nice combination. Well. Nice. I like that.
Cool. And I thought the mint was not as good, but okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it. But you're right. The mint is tough. I mean, mint is so overpowering.
It's very tough. I think if you're doing any sort of pairings and you can be a little looser than just fermented grapes, there are certainly a lot of beers, that nice maltier beers that I think would be, you know, in fact, I mean, gosh, they make mint chocolate beers. I mean, Southern Tier right now has it's called Thick Mint, and it's a stout with mint. So it's a little more obvious. I am running out of time, but I do want to mention we've had our monthly tasting for this month, in February, which is fast approaching. Which is a good, like, I love it when we're like ripping through the months that are just terrible.
Yes. The cold, awful ones.
And this one's really, it's doing its part. Although it's not cold. I mean, I'm not even wearing a coat. It's 50 degrees out when I drove over here. It's just, at least according to my truck's thermometer, but I mean, it's strange. So the February 15th, as we move through the dreary winter months, we'll help you out moving through them by tasting some stuff. I have no idea what the theme's going to be at this point. I'll figure it out.
Nor should you. It's early still.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Also, I would be remiss if I did not mention the opportunity for you all to come out this weekend, not once, but twice, to see my band, 161, play some good old-fashioned rock and roll. And by old-fashioned, I really don't mean old-fashioned. Like, we play stuff that we grew up with, so it's kind of, you know, rock and groove and fun. So on Friday, we will be at Tim Gallon's Black Bear Brewery in Orono, and that'll be, I believe, from like 8:30 to 11:30, I think, is when we're playing. And then this weekend is the big Snow X out at, I believe it's Speedway 95 this year, put on by Eastern Maine Community College. And we are going to be playing their Racer Appreciation Party at the Dice Arts Flatbed Pub. I believe it starts at Amps On at 5:30. So anybody who has kids and kids want to get out and you want to get out and maybe have a beer and dance around and have some fun, my kids will be there. Other kids will be there. Be a lot of fun, very family friendly. You know, I'll try not to curse too much on stage, but there's still going to be some good rock and roll. So it's not going to be, you know, Rothy'd up for you, because I just don't do that.
No, please don't.
So come on out, 161 this weekend, and come on out to Bangor Wine and Cheese anytime.
Fantastic. Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Those cookies are still good a year later.
Listen, it may not be okay. It may not be ground up Girl Scouts, but it's a certain kind of voodoo that they do so well.
Scout magic. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle every Tuesday afternoon. Of course, stop in. Say hello at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.